Well, so much for my rather rambling, current thinking on going for refuge through the three jhus. But I've also had some thoughts specifically about the Dharma, or perhaps I should say about prajna. Prajna being the subject, single inverted commas, of which Dharma is the object, single inverted comma. I'm sure you all know that there are three kinds of prajna. Prajna based on hearing, prajna based on reflection, and prajna based on meditation. And these are usually treated not only as successive, but as progressive. That the prajna, which arises as a result of reflection, is of a rather higher kind than that which arises in dependence upon simply hearing. And in the same way, the prajna that arises on the basis of meditation is a rather loftier kind than that which arises merely on the basis of reflection. So this is the way in which they are usually treated, indeed the way in which they are usually experienced. But they can all be regarded as occupying the same level. And prajna, or insight, can arise equally in dependence on all three. Take, for instance, the case, the classic case of Shariputra. Shariputra was originally the follower of a Brahmin teacher, but he became dissatisfied with this teacher's teaching. Well, he and his friend Moggallana both became dissatisfied, and they started looking for another teacher. And Shariputra, we are told, happened to encounter Ashvajit, one of the Buddha's first five disciples, and was impressed by his appearance and inquired of him whose disciple he was and what his master taught. And then, as we all know, Ashvajit recited or pronounced that famous verse, which is the epitome of the teaching of conditioned co-production, pratitya-samutpada, and therefore of the whole of the Buddha's teaching on the more philosophical side. I won't repeat the verse now because everybody knows it anyway. And Shariputra attained insight, prajna, stream entry, just by hearing that verse. No reflection, no meditation, just on the basis of hearing. He gained not enlightenment, but stream entry. Developed prajna, developed vipassana, but developed insight. And many other of the Buddha's disciples had that experience, both during the Buddha's own lifetime and afterwards. Of course, we don't usually develop insight simply by hearing the Dharma. And of course, in our case, for hearing, one must read or understand reading. We don't usually hear the Dharma, of course, unless we listen to a tape. Usually we read the Dharma. But though we ourselves don't usually develop insight simply by hearing the Dharma, we mustn't overlook the fact that it's possible to do so. So, all right, we hear the Dharma. We read about the Dharma. We read all about the Four Noble Truths, Noble Eightfold Path, Conditioned Co-Production, Seven Bodhyangas, so on and so forth. Shunyata, Nirvana. We read all about these things. But insight doesn't arise. For some reason or other, it just doesn't happen. So what do we then have to do? We have to reflect upon what we've heard, what we've read. It just hasn't sunk in deep enough. We weren't sufficiently receptive. If we had been, insight would have arisen. When we heard, when we read. So we have to reflect. If we reflect long and hard enough, insight, prajna, may arise. Sometimes it does. But very often it doesn't. We hear and we hear. We read and we read. We reflect and we reflect. But still, nothing seems to happen. Nothing in the sense of insight or prajna arising or developing. So we have to meditate. That's the reason why we meditate. If prajna arose when we heard or read or when we reflected, well, we wouldn't really need to meditate, except just for the sheer pleasure of it. Because meditation, dhyana experience, is a very pleasurable experience, and there's nothing wrong with pleasure, not of that sort, not skillful pleasure. That's the higher hedonism of Buddhism, we may say. Buddhism isn't puritanical in the sense of pleasure denying. Buddhism says, have as much pleasure as you like. Enjoy yourself, revel in the dhyanas. Well, I was just remembering some expressions people used to use in the old days back in the 60s. Didn't they used to talk about being blissed out? Well, something of that sort. So Buddhism's not against that, but that's just by the way. But it's because in consequence of or as a result of our study and our reflection, the insight hasn't arisen that we have to meditate. That's the real reason. And if again we meditate long and hard enough, eventually, yes, insight, prajna does arise. And of course, we don't just meditate. The fact that we have found that study hasn't led, reading and hearing haven't led to the arising of insight, nor has reflection, and that we've had to have recourse to meditation, it doesn't mean that we give up those two other practices. No, we carry on studying, we carry on reading, we carry on hearing the Dharma, we also carry on reflecting on it, and with those two as a basis, we meditate, and usually, in that threefold way, eventually, we manage to break through. And that's the position, I think, with most of us. I think very few people do develop insight just on the basis of hearing or reading, though that does sometimes happen, or just on the basis of reflection, though that does happen too. But even if you don't need meditation as a support for the development of insight or prajna, it's nonetheless a very pleasant experience.